Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 2, Text 29. The chapter is entitled Remembrance of Lord Krishna. Sa eva godhanang lakshmya. Sa eva godhanam lakshmya. Niketam sitta go brisham. Niketam sitta go brisham. Charayana nugan gopan. Charayana nugan gopan. Ranadve nurari ramat. Ranadve nurari ramat. Sa eva godhanang lakshmya. Niketang sita gobrisham. Charayana nugan gopan. Ranadve nurari ramat. Ladies, ladies, Gopan Ranadve Nurari Ramat Saiva Godhanang Lakshmya Lakshmya Niketam Sita Gobrisham Darayana Nugan Gopan Ranad Venuradi Ramat Saha. He, Lord Krishna, Eva, certainly, Godanam, the treasure of cows, Lakshmya, by opulence, Niketam, reservoir, Sita Gobrisham, beautiful cows and bulls, Charayan, herding, Anugan, the followers, Gopan, cowherd boys, Ranat, blowing, Venu, flute, Adiramat, enlivened. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. While herding the very beautiful bulls, the Lord, who was the reservoir of all opulence and fortune, used to blow his flute, and thus he enlivened his faithful followers, the cowherd boys. Report. As he grew to 6 and 7 years old, the Lord was given charge of looking after the cows and bulls in the grazing grounds. He was the son of a well-to-do landholder who owned hundreds and thousands of cows. And according to Vedic economics, one is considered to be a rich man by the strength of his store of grains and cows. With only these two things, cows and grain, humanity can solve its eating problem. Human society needs only sufficient grain and sufficient cows to solve its economic problems. All other things but these two are artificial necessities created by man to kill his valuable life at the human level and waste his time in things which are not needed. Lord Krishna, as the teacher of human society, personally showed by his acts that the mercantile community, or the Vaishyas, should herd cows and bulls and thus give protection to the valuable animals. According to Smriti regulation, the cow is the mother and the bull is the father of the human being. The cow is the mother because just as one sucks the breast of one's mother, human society takes cow's milk. Similarly, the bull is the father of the human society because the father earns for the children just as the bull tills the ground to produce food grains. Human society will kill its spirit of life by killing the father and the mother. It is mentioned herein that the beautiful cows and bulls were of various checkered colors, red, black, green, yellow, ash, etc. And because of their colors and healthy, smiling faces, the atmosphere was enlivening. Over and above all, the Lord used to play his celebrated flute. The sound vibrated by his flute would give his friends such transcendental pleasure that they would forget all the talks of the Brahmananda, which is so praised by the impersonalists. These cowherd boys, as will be explained by Shukadeva Goswami, were living entities who had accumulated heaps of pious acts and thus were enjoying with the Lord in person and were hearing his transcendental flute. The Brahma Sanghita confirms the Lord's blowing his transcendental flute. Venam kanvantam aravinda dalaya takshang parhavatam samasitam buddhasundarungam Kandarbha koti kamaniya vishesha shobham govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Brahmaji said, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who plays on his transcendental flute. His eyes are like lotus flowers. He is decorated with peacock plumes, and his bodily color resembles a fresh black cloud, although his bodily features are more beautiful than millions of cupids. These are the special features of the Lord. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnanchana Shalakaya Chakshun Minitam Jena Tasmai Sigur Menama Ugam Guru Deva Chalam Pangam Langayate Gir Mirki Vidhamande Sigurum Dinatan Paramananda Marabam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Sura Goswami tells these sages in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Nigamakalpa Tarora Galitam Palam, Sukamakaram Nita Jravasam Yutam. He explains to these sages that, O expert and thoughtful men, relish the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it's the mature fruit of the, the desire tree of Vedic literature. And you can see in this purport, it's so incredible. Prabhupada is relishing, he's churning that nectar which is found there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. His purports are so so evident of that, right? From this very simple shloka, Prabhupada's generated such wonderful nectar and so much realization. Every sentence is just power-packed. Suda Goswami tells the sages, expert and thoughtful men, relish the Srimad Bhagavatam. You should relish it. And you can see Prabhupada is relishing this. And which means that one should be expert in discerning the mundane from the spiritual. Not that we're interested in becoming some mechanic or just some philosopher. No. Instead, one should be able to discern the mundane from the spiritual, the mundane activities from the spiritual activities. One has to become expert and be able to discern that. The trouble in the world nowadays, as people, it's such a mishmash. No one has any idea what is spiritual and what is material. For the most part, it's at best impersonal, at best. What to speak of being thoughtful or being able to recognize the value and purpose of the human form of life. There's just no thought in this area. But when you read the wonderful statements given here in the Bhagavatam, and then you read the wonderful icing on the cake that the pure devotees give. And that's important, that one should hear from the proper source, from the Mahatma, as we're hearing here from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada describes that as legal hearing. If you hear it any other way, it's illegal. Legal hearing means to hear from the realized souls and not some interpretation, not some just some Veda Vada Rita Partha, not just some flowery words, mixing up all kinds of sentences and making it so complicated that nobody understands what you're saying. Least of all, the common person. So it's all about a hearing from the self-realized persons, those who are actually relishing this nectar. And of course, there are so many who think in their own mind that they're realized. They act in whatever way and think that they're qualified to speak or qualified to take some position. And it turns into some mundane sound vibration. But here, Srila Prabhupada is so nicely giving and explaining and commenting how the Lord, at the very early age of 6 and 7, this is what, the Kishore age? No, this was Kumar age. This when he was still taking care of the little calves. And then when he graduated to 15 and 16, he was the Kishore age, and then he would take on the larger cows. But here is Srila Prabhupada so nicely describing how Krishna grew up from the very beginning, and he was put in to a very wonderful, responsible position, taking care of the cows and bulls in the grazing grounds, and setting the standard, the example, as Prabhupada comments here. Lord Krishna is the teacher of human society, personally showing by his acts Being the son of a very wealthy, well-to-do landowner, right? Maharaj Nanda was so wealthy that at Lord Krishna's birthday celebration, he gave what? 200,000. 200,000 cows he gave in charity. We can't imagine 200,000 cows. You can go from here up five, and there's a place, I think it's close to Sanger. There happens to be a, unfortunately, it's a slaughtering area. But they have cows up there. And you see them all huddled up and living in unbelievably miserable conditions. And the look on their faces, you can see the fear that's there, the anxiety that's there, because shortly they know, they're not stupid. They know that death is soon. There's only some thousands there, maybe 10,000 at best. But Maharaj Nanda, he gave 200,000 cows, and they weren't just miserable looking. They were adorned with all sorts of, when Krishna was his first birthday, Maharaj Nanda again gave so many cows and grains, and they were all adorned with jewels, gold ornaments, embroidered covers. They weren't miserable, but they were quite happy, as Prabhupada points out here. Very beautiful bulls. Very beautiful cows. They were nicely taken care of. And he had hundreds and thousands of them. And according to Vedic economics, this is considered to be a rich man. Right? There's a, what is that saying? Gavaya dhanavan, danya dhanavan. That one who has cows and grains is considered to be really wealthy. Real wealth is cows and grains. It's not the paper money. It's not these little pieces of paper that people sell their soul for, that people work so hard for, and then there's some sort of prostituted value system of wealth. It's all according to the books, right? It's not actually wealth. It's not backed up by any kind of serious value. But it's all in numbers. And people go crazy over it. Isn't it? Every morning they go crazy over the stock market, thinking that, oh, now I'm rich. Oh, today, tomorrow, I'm going to be even richer. All of a sudden I'm poor. I've lost billions. What does it mean? It means nothing. And society is so consumed by it. There's no real value there. It's not backed up by gold. It's only backed up by promises. So this is not a good arrangement, as Prabhupada points out here. That these are the only two things that that society needs to solve the problems. The Bhagavatam tells us later on, right? What is that? Sahamula Misha Choda. That in the Kali Yuga, as the age develops, there will be eating problems. And we are experiencing it. People are having all sorts of eating problems. They don't know what to eat. And when they eat it, it's something abominable. Some dead corpse. In the future, it'll be just seeds and meat. And eventually, they're newborn. We can't imagine the terrible state that society is headed toward, because they've lost all sense of guidance and understanding. anadhyati thai vaisha dhatve, is described that a person will be judged as holy by how much money he has. It's so backwards. It's so mixed up. According to how much money you have, and of course that money is not even real money. It's not real wealth. It's just paper. Or maybe some plastic somewhere. Right? People are very proud of their little plastic card. It happens to be black. And it says American Express on it. So you have an unlimited purchasing power. But really, it's not wealth. This is really the only direction that society is headed toward. And Bhagavatam again tells us, Udarana Bharata Svarata, to fill the belly will be the goal of life. There's no other purpose. There's no other direction. So, in this way, human society, is degrading. But as Prabhupada points out here, there is a solution, and that solution is the protection of the cows and production of grains. And Lord Krishna, as Prabhupada points out here, and by doing this, one can avoid wasting your valuable human life. Maya sukaya bharam udvahato vimudhan. Prahlad Maharaj describes that people are engaged, the general mass of people are engaged in so many useless plans. It's all useless. Making this a political arrangement or that monetary movement, it's all simply an illusion. It's simply an illusion. And the whole of society has become entangled in it. We can see it in our culture all around us. People have lost all sight, all sense of what is really valuable and important. And there's no example. But here, Prabhupada points out so nicely that Lord Krishna is the teacher of human society, personally showing by his acts that the mercantile community or the Vaishyas should herd cows and bulls and thus give protection to the valuable animals. Why? Because she's considered the mother and she's providing milk, which is such a valuable, critical foodstuff for the body and the brain power. And the bull, of course, because he produces grains. And by those grains, by those simple arrangement, it's so simple and so practical. By doing those things, society can avoid the killing of their own souls, as Prabhupada points out here. Right? Human society will kill its spirit of life by killing the father and mother. What is that destination? Asurya namate loka. Andena tamasabrita. The Ishopanishad tells us very nicely that society, which is living under those principles, they're headed to darkness and ignorance. Right? The world of such a faithless society living situations, it's headed toward darkness and ignorance. Tamaste prayetya bigas janti yeke chatmohano jana. They're killing their own souls, as Prabhupada points out here. They're killing its spirit. Human society is killing its spirit of life by killing the father and mother. So that example has to be there. And Lord Krishna is, as Prabhupada points out here, is the perfect teacher. Uritsiyayor ime loka na kartum karyam chedaham. Krishna says again in Bhagavad Gita that he's setting the example, right? How one should work in this life. And unfortunately, society is not seeing that example. Instead, as the Bhagavatam tells us, we've created our own unwanted population, and therefore society is not peaceful. Society is not peaceful because it's created an unwanted population due to misguided activities. Therefore, the Bhagavatam is so instructive. The Vedic literatures are giving us information on how we can live a simple and productive life. Not that we have to engage in all kinds of useless plan making, which is which are simply degrading the whole of society, and as a result, we're headed to a deep, dark place, unfortunately. Therefore, we have to hear from such a great personalities as we find in the Bhagavatam, and from great personalities like Srila Prabhupada, who are churning this nectar and giving it to us in such a way that we can understand it, that we can grasp it, that it's very, very simple. It's not complicated. Prabhupada concludes the purport here by saying that the cowherd boys, as will be explained by Sukadeva Goswami, were living entities who had accumulated heaps of pious acts. Right? Itam satam brahma sukam bhutya is described in the by Sukadeva Goswami that these that persons who are engaged in self-realization and appreciating Brahman or engaged in loving service, devotion. What to speak of those who are in the clutches of Maya? They cannot understand. They cannot understand who these boys were who have accrued volumes of pious activities and who are now acting and playing with Krishna in a very friendly way, right? Sakam viruja, what is that? Sakam vijura krita punja punja. We can't imagine who these personalities are. Especially for those who are covered by Maya. Even those who are engaged in a karmic jnana or yoga and they may have some realization, they still can't understand special relationship that's there between Krishna and his intimate associates, whether it be the cowherd boys or the damsels of Braj or his mother and father. And it can be understood if one, again, hears from the proper authority, the proper source. And Prabhupada concludes his purport here by discussing the beautiful playing of Lord Krishna's flute, which Prabhupada elaborates more on in the Nectar Devotion of Sukadeva Goswami or of Rupa Goswami, where there are some little, there are some small bits of nectar that we can appreciate how special the associates were and the residents of Vrindavan to be able to hear the flute playing of Krishna. Rupa Goswami describes that Brahma, who's engaged in creating the universe, he was astonished whenever he would hear the flute playing of the Lord. And Lord Shiva, who's always playing on his drum, he would immediately stop. What is this? He's hearing Krishna's flute, and Lord Shiva would stop playing. And Anantadev, who's who's maintaining all the planets on his hoods, as soon as he would hear the flute playing of Krishna, he would start swaying back and forth. You can imagine this gigantic Anantadev who's swaying back and forth as he's hearing the beautiful playing of Lord Krishna. And the Kumaras, they would snap out of their meditation. They would be in deep concentration. They would wake up out of their meditation. Whenever Lord Krishna would play his flute in the morning, it would awaken the cowherd boys. Oh, it's time to go to the forest and do our service. The calves, who were with their mothers, they were busy drinking the milk of their mother. They would immediately stop. As soon as they heard, as soon as they would hear the flute playing of Krishna there, they would stop drinking their mother's milk. And the gopis, they would lose all composure being in the company of their superiors. They would be engaged in their various activities. Immediately they would lose composure and be so absorbed in hearing the sounds of the Lord's flute playing. The wives of the Kaliya would, as soon as they heard the flute playing of the Lord, they would offer very nice prayers. Why are you playing your flute and disturbing our minds? Of course, this was so that Lord Krishna would have mercy on Kaliya, and he wouldn't punish him severely. Indra, whenever he would hear the flute playing, he would start crying, and a celestial rain would fall down on Vrindavan. So, as Prabhupada points out here in the final sentence, these are the special features of the Lord. This is the special quality of Krishna, that his flute playing especially was so attractive. It was so attractive that finally sounds like the roaring of rain clouds, roaring of the clouds. It's such a penetrating sound. So all of this, again, is understood by the self-realized souls. And we're so fortunate to be able to hear how Srila Prabhupada is churning the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam so that we can understand all of this just from a simple one or two lines that Sukadeva Goswami speaks. Prabhupada has just opened the doors in such a magnificent way. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. This is a very, very astounding comment that Prabhupada makes. It's like in a nutshell, he gives the solution to the whole world as far as economic development goes. And as reading this, also I was thinking any one of these economists or the government would see a statement like that, they would probably would just laugh or they wouldn't even pay attention.
Yeah,
but we, the devotees, those who are being taking this process of Krishna consciousness, we value this. Then I was thinking, well, now there's a big responsibility in each one of us to make these statements truthful. Even if we cannot do it in a large way, at least individually, in our little sand or grain, put it in there to contribute to the mission of the spiritual master who desires that. So, by saying this also, I remember maybe 3 years ago, 2 years ago, I read some laws that the government, GVCs, were passing by. Maybe I'm wrong, and I don't know, maybe you correct me, but I heard that it was saying that by certain year, I don't know if this one or the next year, they were encouraging every temple in ISKCON to somehow or other gradually make some arrangements in which they can provide their needs, their milk products from the, you know, places where the cows are not being mistreated, you know, little by little. It's in the GVC meetings. I saw in the resolutions about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I don't know. If someone knows more, maybe they can speak that. But it was there.
I'm not familiar with that personally.
Yeah, that was in. I think I read it 2 years ago, that they were expecting that. But certain years, I don't know if it's the 23 or 22, they were encouraging that every single temple in ISKCON should make arrangements to provide themselves with milk. That is, in which was no supporting the slaughter of animals.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a direction that we need to go. I think it's a case of maturation. The Krishna consciousness movement is maturing gradually, for sure. But as Prabhupada is giving us these instructions, his words in the Bhagavatam, we should try our best in whatever way you can do it. Whatever way you can do it, our direction should be to try and establish the protection of cows, the production of grains, the Vedic lifestyle. We may be stuck in the city, but there's still things that we can do in some way. Bring our brain power, we can certainly think of something that we can do to push society or at least our movement in that direction. I think it's incumbent upon us, before this lifetime is finished, that something has to be, that we have to contribute in that direction somehow or other. If nothing else, at least think about it. If you can't do anything about it, at least think about it, and eventually it'll materialize. If we're not thinking about it, it won't happen. That is for sure. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
shared about the vast.
They've been